Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Stanton Mennonite Church. Let's begin today with a reading from the Gospel of John, first chapter, verses 43 through the end of the chapter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also in the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, of Nazareth. Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, Come and see. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael asked him, Where did you get to know me? And Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. Nathanael replied, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. So Jesus answered, Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. At this time, I'd like to introduce some of the people that are here today that are making up this congregation. As your name is called, if you could please stand and remain standing until I ask you to be seated. Or if your spouse is called, please stand with your spouse as well. We will begin by recognizing the first pastor of this church, Roy Kaiser, who was pastor from 1958 until 1961. Anyone who is a family member of Roy Kaiser, please stand and remain standing. Paul Kratz, pastor from 1961 to 1969. Robert Nolt, pastor from 1969 to 1981. David Peterson, pastor from 1981 to 1982. Paul Thielen, 1983 through 1989. Richard Weaver, pastor from 1990 to 1995. William Hatter, pastor from 1995 to 2001. Standing in the back are Jim and Janie Delp, pastor from 2001 to 2006. My name is Kevin Gosser. My wife and I have been here from 2006 to the present day. You may be seated. Now, if you first came here as a member of the Young People's Christian Association, please stand and remain standing. If you are a former member or a former attendee, please stand and remain standing. If you are a present member or a present attendee, please stand and remain standing. You may be seated. Thank you. As we look around the congregation, there are many familiar faces to us, but there are also many unfamiliar faces. But we all have one thing in common. Just like Jesus called his first disciples, we too have been called to serve Jesus Christ. And that calling has led us all here today to Stanton Mennonite Church to celebrate today our 50th anniversary. We are so glad that we could all join here today to celebrate this momentous occasion. I would like to open this time with a word of prayer. Our gracious and loving God, we come here today humbled by your presence. And Lord, we thank you for all that you have done through this congregation, for the witness that you have been to so many people here in the city of Stanton. Guide us today during this worship service, that we know your Holy Spirit upon us. Fill us with that same Spirit, Lord. Empower us to do your good work, to live as you have called us to live, and to lead others in your good paths as well. Thank you again, dear Lord. We pray in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. At this time, Glenn Zett will now lead us in singing.
I want to say welcome to all of you. It's good to see everybody back. It's a hard act to follow. Those two rich guys are good, aren't they? I'm having to be worried since this is our first practice. Linda Kaiser Burkholder is here to help us with all. If you see on the screen, this is the song we're going to be singing. Most of our songs are from what we call a blue book. It's number 19. If you have access to one. I don't know if any of you old timers remember the red book or not. We have one song from that. And we do not have copies of that except on the screen. So this is your chance to lift your praise. We worship and adore you. Everybody?
We worship and adore you.
Thank you.
Mark's blue book that kept up with us, 555.
Again, let's sing the first, second, and fourth verse.
Come, we Urban congregation.
someone asked me to help with Stanton when I was a student in my first year here. Actually, I came a second semester of the previous year, and I was here in the year 58-59 continuing as a freshman. Maybe I saw a sheet on the bulletin board in the old ad building asking for help. I don't remember, but anyway, I was used to this kind of church work. My parents had begun a Sunday school in our home in New York before I was born. Because we needed more room in that particular church place, we moved to the fire hall on Sunday mornings, cleaning up the cigarette butts and the beer bottles from the firefighters' party the night before. I was two or three at the time, but it developed into a church, still a church today. I was used to knocking on people's doors. I helped to distribute invitations to our Bible school when quite young, and we would go door to door passing out tracts. And besides that, my father had a sales job in Buffalo, and during my growing up years, I sold eggs and whatnot all to customers, and so I was accustomed to ringing doorbells and meeting new people. So heeding the beckoning call from whomever to help, okay to me. So we came down to Stanton from Harrisonburg, or later on I found I was coming up to Stanton, actually. A group of students, maybe first of all six or eight of us, I don't remember, we were given a set of questions by someone and embarked on going door to door. After all, if you were starting a church, you'd visit on Sunday morning and catch people in their bathrobes reading the morning newspaper. Or at their best, maybe watching some TV preacher, although I don't know if there were that many TV preachers back there in that, back in the last century. As I recall, most people were quite cordial to a couple teenagers breaking into their space, this kind of survey taking more acceptable then, I suppose, than it would be now. So we skipped church Sunday mornings. But we met at Mrs. Coffey's living room for our Sunday service in the afternoon. How many of you remember Mrs. Coffey? What was her first name?
Baby.
Baby, okay. We sang and prayed together for some months, focusing on this city where we hoped a bona fide Mennonite church could be established. As I recall, we didn't do any demographic studies or decide to target a certain social class of people or send anyone off to church planting conference or do a church planter assessment, things that are generally done today. We heard of a storefront that was available across the tracks, or I guess on the other side of the tracks or next to the tracks, and began meeting on Sunday mornings. A year or two later, a Baptist church was for sale and money was found, and lo and behold, this building was bought. And we moved into an actual church building with pews and a platform and rooms for Sunday school. If we sat in the back row then, that was here. And the pulpit was back there. Each Sunday, a couple station wagon loads, that was before vans for you young people that don't remember station wagons, a couple station wagon loads of students would grab our brown bag lunch at the EMC dining hall after we had our breakfast of delicious pancakes and gravy. Didn't you like those pancakes and gravy? I don't know if it was great. Gathered together in our Sunday go-to-meeting clothes just next to North Lawn, and anyway, and away we went, south on Route 11. No I-81 at that time. Some of us led singing, others taught a class. Another student read scripture, a quartet sang some old classic hymns or gospel songs. And we welcomed the children, many of whom came from around the city, as a couple of us students would drive up and down the hilly Stanton roads, streets to pick them up. A few adults came from time to time, and sometimes someone from VSDB, Virginia School for Deaf and Blind, like Kemper, who came quite regularly. Anybody remember Kemper who was here? Well, after the service, when everyone was delivered back home, we indulged in our delectable cheese sandwiches and banana or apple and a cookie. Sometimes we wouldn't wait until all the drivers were back. After all, we hadn't eaten breakfast at 7 o'clock. Those were good times of getting acquainted, sharing stories from back home in New York or Ohio or Pennsylvania or Michigan, telling about our families and our youth escapades. We took the biblical example of Jesus in the afternoon. No, not finding some secluded place to rest away from the crowds. Rather, we went two by two in the afternoon, heading up and down the street, getting to know our neighbors. I don't think there was any time we had to shake the dust off our feet because people were mean to us. They accepted us. As we approached, did they think we were Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. Maybe so. We were bold. And Esther Schock and I remember especially the Haramnot family with four small daughters. They were so friendly, invited us in and showed us the beautiful house. Esther, who now lives in Oregon, still has regular contact with them, and a couple years ago I paid them a visit as well. They are now in their 80s, I believe. And now his nephew and wife are very much involved in the Deaf Fellowship, which has started here in Stanton, which is connected to Springdale, and is something that I've been working with as a representative from the Mission Board. And his great-niece, Hiram's great-niece, is married to one of our pastors in the Southern District, Seth Hankin, so it's a small world. Kind of comes around. I distinctly remember one incident. When we were going out to visit and we all came back, reporting about our afternoon visits, one couple who had recently started dating were asked a question. Did you have any significant contacts this afternoon? On other Sundays, we divided up into groups and visited at the SDB. And that's where we first met Dan Bowman. And we were amazed as he sat behind the console of that organ and launched out with grandeur, playing the Hallelujah Chorus. How could that be? Someone that's totally blind but plays so well. We sang in nursing homes or in the prison camp near Fishersville. I will always remember the one incident at the prison camp as we were singing just outside the bars and looking inside to the prisoners just voice away, just next to us, just bars between. We asked, do you have a song that you'd like to have us sing? With a twinkle in his eye, one African-American inmate whose crime might have been robbery quickly said, steal away. This is where, as a seminary student, I was first licensed as a student pastor at about the age of 24 or 25. I didn't allow having to put a plain coat on to stop me. I bought a used one from a friend in the dorm who was heading the other direction in the Sunday apparel. I enjoyed working with Paul Kratz as an associate in those early days and sharing some Sundays in the pulpit for trying to practice what I learned in homiletics from Herman Wright to J. Otis Schroeder. A catchy introduction, a proposition, three good points in the outline with a meaningful biblical teaching, sprinkled with a couple of illustrations and a poem. The congregation has changed from what it was 50 years ago, except for Peggy and Nelson Blossom. Oh yes, I still remember the Blossom family. They began coming here to Stanton Mennonite Church, Glenn and Lois, and four small boys or teenage, I think Nelson was a teenager at that time. And about 30 years later, I would become their pastor in a different church at Huntington Mennonite in Newport News. And then Nelson found his wife Peggy here, and Peggy here's probably been here the longest, Peggy Halterman Blosser. You want to stand, Peggy? Loyal members for maybe close to 50 years, not quite 50. How wonderful it is to have loyal people like that. Well, these were great days in my formative ministry here. And then we moved on to many other states and many other kinds of churches and other kinds of assignments. But thank God for churches like Stanton that allowed young people to test out their spiritual gifts. If there's a verse to share that I like to wrap this up with, it's Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. He that began a good work in you will keep it going. You have great days ahead. The field is still white, ready to harvest, and I know that you will meet the challenge. And we must remember this one fact, that what makes a great church is not necessarily the seating capacity, but the sending capacity. And Staten Mennonite Church has sure fulfilled that role over the last 50 years.
Amen. Mom and Dad were unable to be here. Most of you know my parents, Cal and Judy Brennan. I've been told I inherited my dad's looks and most of his temperament, but the one thing I did inherit from my mom was emotional. I'm very emotional. So you're liable to see both Calvin and Judy up here. The funny thing, ironic thing is we haven't been to Virginia for probably about 6 years, and we had planned a family vacation up at the Shirt Cabins for the first week in June of this year, and then Danny called and asked if we would bring all seven of our children down. Danny called and asked if we'd come down here, and I just thought, there's just no way. With gas and everything the way it is, but I really felt the Lord desired for me to come, so that's why I'm here this morning. And one of the things that Danny said was, we want you to share memories and influences of Staten and my church. So I thought, well, you know what? In order for you to know how I've been influenced, it might be good for you to know who I am. I mean, it's been almost 30 years, right? You know, I've become convinced of one thing. Nowhere in all the Scripture were we ever told to build the church. Jesus said, I will build the church. What he said to us was, wherever you go, you make disciples. And yet a lot of time is spent trying to build churches, programming and marketing Jesus. We spend a lot of time and money and effort on buildings, all the things that we think of in church. We're separated. We've separated the secular from the spiritual. And really everything, every part of our life is spiritual. Jesus said for us to seek first the kingdom, His kingdom, and seek first His righteousness. It isn't compartmentalized. It isn't about a spiritual life and a secular life. Everything we do is centered around the Father and His will, and following Jesus as His disciples. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. It's become a life verse for me. So we've spent the last 8 years. We've been in Davis County for 12 years, Davis County, Indiana. We spent the last 8 years in a new work, teaching our people about the kingdom of God, and that the value system of the kingdom of God is different than the value system of the world. And that the people of God are a family with a good, loving, protective, providing Father. And that's really important in the world that we live in today, because so many of the people that we work with didn't have an earthly dad, so they have no concept of God as a Father. So that's where a lot of our emphasis is. We believe that God created man and woman in His image. Together they had children and they were a family. Father and mother reflect the image of God to their children. And the family reflects the image of God to the culture around us. I mean, for 2,500 years, there wasn't any written word. How did people know God? Through family. The family is the reflection of the image of God. And we believe that the church is designed to promote the family. The group of people that are our family in Davis County are as diverse as they can be. We have a core group of people. On any given gathering, we'll have 150 plus. It never seems to be the same crowd. We deal a lot with people who are struggling with dysfunctions. Davis County is one of the top 5 methamphetamine producers in Indiana. Therefore, everyone in our community has been touched by this disease. I work with the local recovery center on the board. I work a lot with people who have addictions and are in recovery and are looking for healing. That's a real bad ring, isn't it? We have real ex-outlaw bikers in our body. Still wear their leathers and their, of course, they have to wear their tattoos. They're there, you know. We have a Christian biker gang. We have some professionals, but most of the people in our body are from the community. They're either new believers or people who are looking for help or family. You know, I had to do a lot of thinking when they asked me to share how Stanton influenced me. I mean, I was 5 years old when we started attending, and by the time I was 15 or 16, I had pretty much given up on God and the church and anything that my parents believed in. And to be truthful, I used to think that somehow I'd missed out on something because we were always so small. But I know now how much you guys influenced my life and the life of our family. Growing up, we were always taught to address older people by Mr., Miss., or Mrs. And you know what? It was never that way here. We always got to call you by your first name. I know that sounds funny, but that was just so important to us. Do you know that to this day, I can tell you the floor plan of most of the homes that you guys lived in while we were here? Glenn and Kathy, J. Mark in Virginia, Dan and Ruth Ann, Danny and Francis, Lowell and Marlene, I could go on. Glenn and Lois, and I could go on and on. Because we were in each other's homes for Sunday meals. And I got to tell you, I really did like it that we didn't have Sunday evening service every week as a kid, because I knew that those nights we were always going to be in somebody's home or they were going to be in ours. I can't honestly say I remember one sermon that Bob preached. I'm sorry. And you want to know something? That's really depressing for me, too. To think about all those teachings that I did. I do remember the hand gesture. You remember the hand gesture? Still do that, right? But the thing I do remember is his and Anna's love for us as a body. And their faithfulness to us. Working as teachers and pastoring the corner. Bruce and Lowell were my torchbearer leaders. One of the most impacting lessons I ever learned was from Lowell Wenger in a cave way back deep in the earth. He made us turn all of our lights off and he struck a match, one match, and it lit up the whole cavern that we were in. He talked to us about how just a little light in darkness makes a difference. It was always fun to hang with Alan and Ira Stark. We sat back in that corner, and the way we got away with it was because we also ushered. I remember going to their home, shooting rats at the dump with a .22 and walking around the junkyard and several other things that we probably shouldn't talk about today. Steve Weaver was quiet, but fun to be with. Dana was... Well, she was fun to be with, anyway. You know, I joked a lot about our youth group growing up. There was three of us. If one of us couldn't make it, we knew that there would at least be two there, right? Katie and Joyce, we'll never know how they impacted me to see them loving children. And playing ball with AD, I mean, he was my hero. To be able to hit the ball and catch, and you were my hero. When I was 15, I decided I didn't want to live by my parents' values. I know I wasn't pleasant to be around at the time, or at the least, I was probably hard to talk to, and yet I never felt rejection from any one of you, even though I rejected you. I know that my parents asked many of you to pray for me, and some of you, especially Dan Martin, made an effort to reach out to me. I guess what I'm saying is that all of you became our family. It was hard for us when we moved here. We moved away from everybody. And I know that we came from all over, from Harrisonburg and the Gap and Deer Creek, and just all over. But it worked. We never seemed to multiply, but it always felt like family. And I'm going to tell you something. You were all a part of those influences in shaping me. My view of the church as representing family, and the family reflecting the image of God, got its start here. You see, where I come from, we're not spending any time trying to build a church anymore. All of our focus is on being followers of Jesus and how we can walk with others in the kingdom. We focus on being a family. You see, we've learned that people want to be with people who love them. We have a lot of influence in our community, in the surrounding area, with the government, with the local government, with the churches, with different ministries. People who don't know Jesus. And all because we've taken on that one thought, people want a family. Just last week, during a break in our worship time, we were just kind of milling around, and one of my guys brought a gal up to me. A younger gal. She had several babies and single mother. And she had tears coming down her face. And she said, "I just wanted to meet you. I just wanted to let you know I've been a lot of places, but this is the first place I've been to that it feels like family. And I just wanted to meet you so that I could tell you that. Thank you." I guess that just kind of sums it all up. That's what it was here, was family. People need family. Our nation is on the brink of destruction. And it's not because Satan is attacking the church. It's because he's destroying the family. If the church won't model the family, then who will? You see, you guys already have that down. One of the most influential passages in my life and in the life of our fellowship is when Jesus responded to this question. What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And the second is this. Love your neighbor. Agape. Value your neighbor. I'm but a small part of your leg. Okay, I know I'm not small. In the whole scheme of things, I'm a small part of your legacy. I understand that. All of you helped to shape me, my belief system. You modeled family for me. And in my mind, that's the purpose of the body of Christ. So I just want to say to you, thank you.
Let's sing the first three verses of this hymn, the 521.
Read me out, Lord, 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 Lord,
Well, thank you, Ed, and thank you, Maury, for sharing your journeys with us. And thank you for making new memories with all of us here today. At this time, we will dismiss for a brief break, a time of refreshment and fellowship. If you have not signed the register as you walk in the door, please take this chance to sign in so that we can have some record of your being here with us today. There are refreshments over in the fellowship hall, and we will try to reconvene around 10:30 when the group, the Blue Mountain Sunrise, will continue to bless us with their musical talent. So let's just have a short prayer, and we'll reconvene around 10:30. Gracious and loving God, you have gathered us here today to make new memories. Lord, thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for showing us the way. Thank you for leading us here today. May we take this time of intermission, and may it be pleasing unto you and pleasing unto us as well. Help us to reconnect with one another, and help us to reconnect with you. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Thank you.